State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
This has nothing to do with what's going on taking water or sewage to State Road 28. This is just what we have presently in our city that we need to work on.
On the air first when seconds count.
We discuss our staff that have symptoms, our students that have symptoms. We spend time with the health department. We spend time with the other superintendents. So much of our day, the topic is COVID.
The news team you've come to depend on.
Normally we would ask for more than that, but just to be conservative this year. But on all the budgets, I feel like we've been very conservative and very diligent in filling out our budgets this year.
Clinton County's 24-hour news media.
At the very least, getting the roundhouse cleaned up, but again, trying to preserve the machine shop is what I think is the absolute priority right now.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We are expecting a call from Dick Vitale. At least we hope he gets it here very shortly because he is due to call us. He'll be here from 9:30 to 9:45 this morning, so we're still waiting for Dick to give us a call. Once again, we congratulate George Gilbert on what has been a fabulous turnaround this year over at Central. They're 3-0. After they defeated Taylor last night 62-6. Let's just run down the scores while we got the opportunity to do it. Sheridan defeated Clinton Prairie 34-7. Delphi down Tri-Central. That's Tri-Central's first loss of the year, by the way, 42-14. Eastern shut out Carroll 52-0, and as George was talking about, that sets up the big one next week as Clinton Central visits Eastern on next Friday night. And Sagamore last night, Frankfort continued their winning ways. They defeated South Central by a score of 34-31. Danville knocked off Tri-West 28-7. Danville looks really good. They're 3-0 so far this year and have given up a total of 14 points this entire year on the defensive side of the ball. So that's not good for anybody who goes and plays them. Southmont kept Crawfordsville winless last night, and they won that game by a score of 30-24. North Montgomery suffered its first loss of the season as Western Boone defeated them by a score of 38-16. And Western Boone comes to Frankfort next Friday night. That should be an interesting game now because Western Boone, not as good as they've been in the past, but still very good. They're 2-3 as they come in here. And the Hot Dogs are 3-2 as they will host Western Boone next Friday night. Over in the Hoosier Conference, as we talked about, a pair of overtime games last night. West Lafayette defeated Rensselaer in double overtime by a score of 27-21. And this one still surprised me. I'm not real sure how this happened, but Hamilton Heights defeated Western in overtime last night, 19-18. Western's first loss of the year. Though Hamilton Heights is now 2-0 in the league, but they're only 2-3 overall. So that just kind of surprised me a little bit. Tipton handled Central Catholic last night 41-21. Twin Lakes remained undefeated last night. They're 4-0. They defeated Benton Central by a score of 30-12, and Cass shut out Northwestern by a score of 15-0. Other scores from around the area last night: Attica blanked Fountain Central by a score of 20-0. Frontier, they got back on the winning track after losing to Clinton Central last week. They defeated Traders Point by a score of 32-12. Harrison defeated Anderson 42-14. Lafayette Jeff defeated Kokomo by a score of 50-13. It was McCutcheon shutting out Logansport 34-0. North Judson down Winnemac 29-0. Pioneer rolled again. They defeated Christmas Attucks last night 48-12. Seeger just pummeled Covington by a score of 65-14. And Tri-County defeated South Newton last night by a score of 56-18. Let's look at some other scores from last night in Major League Baseball last night, even though we haven't had a whole lot to talk about as far as the baseball season to this point. Anyway, Cubs shut out the Twins last night. Interleague play 1-0. Reds defeated the White Sox in interleague play last night 7-1. National League results: the Cardinals took a twin bill from Pittsburgh. They won game one by a score of 6-5, took the second game by a score of 7-2. NBA last night, the L.A. Lakers won the opening game of the Western Conference Finals as they defeated the Denver Nuggets by a score of 126-114. That is now a 1-0 lead for the Lakers, and they are expected to kind of roll through that series if they possibly can. Other National League scores last night: the Washington Nationals shut out Miami 5-0. That was game one. Game two, the Marlins returned the favor by a score of 14-3. Atlanta pummeled the Mets 15-2. Dodgers just pounded Colorado by a score of 15-6. American League: Cleveland shut out Detroit 1-0. The Yankees defeated Boston in 12 by a score of 6-5. Tampa Bay defeated Baltimore 2-1. The LA Angels defeated Texas by a score of 6-2. Interleague play last night: the Phillies took two from Toronto. They won the game 1-7-0 and then took the second game by a score of 8-7. I already talked about the Reds defeating the White Sox 7-1, and the Cubs 1-0 victory over Minnesota. Arizona defeated Houston by a score of 6-3, and Milwaukee down Kansas City 9-5. San Diego defeated Seattle by a score of 6-1, and the Oakland A's shut out San Francisco by a score of 6-0. U.S. Open over at Wingfoot: Patrick Reed is your leader after two rounds. He's at 4-under. He's got a one-shot lead over Bryson DeChambeau and leads by two over Justin Thomas, Harris English, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello. That's going on at Wingfoot over in Meramec, New York. Today's action: Major League Baseball, first of all. Cubs are at home. They play at Minnesota tonight against, that's the 8:15 start. Also, an interleague play tonight: White Sox are at Cincinnati. That game starts at 7:07. National League today: Cardinals are in Pittsburgh to face the Pirates as a 7:05 start tonight. Top 25 college football: and really, in all honesty, not a whole lot going on today. Number one, Clemson plays the Citadel. That starts at 4:00. That should be a cakewalk for Dabo Sweeney's group. And then Notre Dame, who's ranked number 7 in the country, hosts South Florida. That game is at 2:30. And the only big game having some ranked teams against each other tonight: Louisville and Miami of Florida get together this evening. That's at 7:30. Other top 25 teams playing: Central Florida is playing Georgia Tech. Cincinnati is playing Austin Peay. And Appalachian State is ranked 23rd. Has got the Thundering Herd of Marshall in town for a game for them this week. Game three of the NBA East Finals is tonight at 8:30, as Boston against Miami. And the Heat have got a surprising 2-0 lead on the Celtics in that particular series as of right now. And also, game one of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight as Dallas and Tampa Bay get together tonight. That's the game one of the Stanley Cup Finals there this evening. So it looks like we need to just move on to our next guest, who is going to be Carissa Niehoff from the National Federation of State High School Associations. We're going to take a break right now and try and get Carissa on the line. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper, and Tony Theofanis.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight-up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich, no. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We tried to call Carissa a couple minutes early, and she did not answer. We left a message for her. I'm sure she'll call back here about 9:45. That's when she was scheduled to be on this morning. We did not get our call this morning from Dick Vitale, as we originally were led to believe, so we will move on from that. One thing I do want to make mention of is that, for the fact that last year's college basketball season did not happened because of the coronavirus. That happened about the time everybody was getting ready to go. He went ahead and completed his latest book called The Lost Season, a look at what the 2020 National Championship could have been. It was co-authored by Dick Hoops Weiss and researched by Howie Schwab and forward written by Florida State University head coach Leonard Hambledon. Subject of The Lost Season is what happened to the 2019-2020 season, what may have transpired had the 2020 NCAA tournament been played. Anticipated release of The Lost Season is mid-July of this year, and I've not seen it out yet, but I'm assuming it is out. And the book will be available on www.dickvitale.com and www.amazon.com. All proceeds from the sales of The Lost Season will be donated to the V Foundation for Pediatric Cancer Research. A synopsis of the book written by Dick Vitale was as follows. The end of the 2020 NCAA men's basketball season was supposed to take place on April the 6th in Atlanta. Over 80,000 fans were expected to attend the NCAA's annual Final Four at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Unfortunately, the massive outbreak of the global coronavirus pandemic put a sudden end to the men's and women's tournaments almost a month earlier than expected. The NCAA had no other choice but to cancel the March Madness. It was heartbreaking, but no game was more important than the health and safety of everyone involved. And this was one of those times when sports had to take a back seat to the concerns of public health. My heart goes out to all the players, the coaches, and fans who dreamed about being a part of this magical three-week experience and never got the chance. The idea for this book came to me when I thought about what the season that was, a tournament that could have been and should have been and would have been. What if the teams were selected, the brackets filled, and the tournament played. I went to the VBDI, that is the Vital Bald Dome Index. He talks about that quite frequently, and came up with what I thought would be and what would have happened in the 2020 National Tournament. That's the lost season from Dick Vitale. I don't know if it's out. I'm assuming that it is out. I don't know, but I have not seen it. So we'll just have to go accordingly and see what else is going on. So that's kind of the way things are going. And just, we'll take a real quick break here, I think. Or I don't know if we got Carissa going just yet or not. So I think maybe we do. Do we have Carissa? Yes, we do. So let me just change that. And we say good morning to Carissa Niehoff. Carissa, how you doing?
Very well. Good morning to you. Great to be back with you.
Yeah, it is. Great to be back with you. How you been?
Busy.
Oh, gee, really? I was surprised you'd say that.
Yeah, but all good. All good.
All good?
Yeah, just doing our best to support the state associations and certainly excited to see kids getting back to activity.
How is, for everything that's been going on, what's been the overall take from what's been happening so far?
You know, the overall take has actually been pleasantly surprising. We, for example, in the sport of football, we had 17 states over the last few weeks that have played games, you know, normal competition, perhaps fans in the stands. And we did a little bit of research and learned that over 7,000 games were scheduled to be played. And of those 7,000 games, only 1.7% had to be either canceled or postponed because a team could not play. So when we talk about, you know, whether or not kids are able to get back out there, how's it going, we were pleasantly surprised to see those kinds of numbers.
You know, I've been trying to keep up on who's playing, who's not playing. It looked like it was sort of like a 50-50 split between states that were playing than were not playing. But then again, I have a feeling that it's maybe more who are playing than who aren't.
Yeah, we have actually 19 states that are not playing football in the fall. 18 of the 19 will be playing in the spring. Connecticut has just recently said that they're canceling traditional 11-player tackle for the 2021 year, but we're still not sure if they're going to try to approach a 7-on-7 activity, something like that. But we have 18 states that have modified the fall schedule, which means some of them are, in fact, playing now. Some of them are going back into competitive action. And then we have 14 states that have no changes and are underway. So it really is a majority of states that, as we get further into the fall season, will be active.
Did you? Is this a little surprising to you? Did you expect this many states to go ahead and try and do this?
You know, we did, and I want to credit our state associations and our schools and our coaches, everyone involved with these athletic and performing arts programs, because right out of the gate in March, when the COVID-19 pandemic really pinned the needle on things, everyone undertook an intense effort to get educated. So we were looking at data coming out of CDC, looking at guidance coming out of CDC and USOPC, developing guidance document in consult with our sports med advisory committee. State associations work with their own sports med advisory committees, and we work collaboratively with state health agencies, education agencies, and everybody just tried to get educated as best as they could and immediately put proactive measures in place so that when certain areas geographically were ready to phase in a return to play, they, in fact, made the decision to do that. So I think what we're seeing is because of the education efforts and the strict protocols that are in place for the kids and the coaches and facilities, our kids have been able to come back to activity, go back home, come back to activity, and it's more controlled. So I think because of those efforts, we're seeing some positive results.
You know, I'll be honest. I'm a little surprised, and what I'm surprised from is in this state we've had 5 weeks of football after last night, and I'm surprised that there have actually been very few. There have been some, though. Obviously, there have been very few who have had to either cancel or who have decided not to. And I'm a little, actually, I'll be honest, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, well, you know what we're hearing, and again, this is anecdotal, but we're hearing from our state associations across the board that even if there's a COVID case in a school or a student athlete somehow tests positive, it has not been due to contagion within the team itself. There have been cases where young people have attended a family function, gone to a birthday party, traveled somewhere else, and likely have contracted COVID from those outside events. But we have not yet heard about a case-to-case situation within a team. I'm looking at Indiana's data right now. As of September 14th, we had approximately 675 football games scheduled, only 15 cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're really proud of our coaches and our program precautions that are in place to keep our kids, you know, from a risk mitigation standpoint, as safe as they can be.
You know, and the other thing that surprised me, too, is that, for instance, when one team had to cancel, teams have been able to pick up teams very quickly, which usually isn't the way when you reschedule. That usually the way that happens.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were meeting with our executive directors in Section 4 and the gentleman who leads the Iowa Boys Association. He laughed a little bit because their state association schedules all regular season football games. Very few states, you know, are brave enough to take that on. And there was a concern that his coaches said, you know, what happens if there are cancellations? And sure enough, they've been able to pick up games. So whatever barrier was there, it just took a little effort. And, you know, they are filling their slots because there probably is somebody else in a bye week or had a cancellation somewhere, and if you don't mind a little bit of a longer ride, you can play a school like your own. So they are getting it done.
You know, Frankfurt was scheduled to go down to Lebanon last night. That didn't happen because Lebanon's had some kids off for COVID, so they just didn't play. They haven't played for 2 weeks now. So they got a game up at South Central, which is up in LaPorte County. They went up and played last night, and it amazes me that things happen that quickly.
Yeah, it's, you know, technology has given us, as you well know, such a platform for effective, efficient communication. And they can put a call out now within their member group. The word goes out, and sure enough, people are paying attention and looking for opportunities. So, and that's reflective of the need to play, the desire to play, the energy that, in this case, we're talking about football, all that a football program can do for kids, for schools, as a catalyst for a community. You know, those Friday night lights, that, you know, that's a bit of a cliche, but that is very, very much a real thing and very important, and we really need it right now.
Yes, we do.
So that's, I think, really what's fueling, you know, not even questioning the extra effort that might go into making a few phone calls.
How has we've had some issues around in this state with siblings of families who you know, you have one member of a family gets sick, and then of course they're taking precaution and they're putting everybody else aside. How much of that has been an issue for you guys?
You know, I think our schools really just know that that's just the way we have to do it. Nobody's challenging that approach. Nobody's questioning that approach because I think they know if they're not careful and they don't follow the protocols that are in place, there's a real risk that a spread could occur that that would pull the entire team off the field. So I think there really is just an acceptance at this point. There's appreciation that we are able to play. And even though it may feel, you know, that it's a little bit too cautious, some people might say, well, goodness, we don't even know if they were in contact. They might have been in contact. But really, it's the safest way to go, to try to get everybody back onto the field as quickly as possible.
Have you had any other sports other than football that have had a lot of cancellations? Or I really can't think of other sports around here anyway where we've had any kind of cancellations other than occasional football now and then.
Yeah, the only other sport that we've really heard about where it's been multiple, and I wouldn't even say there's been a lot. In fact, there have been very few. That would be volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, volleyball, the kids are close proximity inside a gymnasium. So, you know, volleyball is probably the sport that we also hear about, but we have not heard about soccer. We've not heard about cross country, other than, again, there might be a student who has tested positive, but it has not been a situation where it's gone to infect someone else on a team.
You know, I think we all kind of expected the fact that the individual sports would be the less susceptible to something like this in your team sports.
That's right. I you know, and that's just it's a pretty obvious situation where a student athlete's isolated, not in proximity with anyone else, a tennis player in singles, or you know, a swimmer or diver, some of those golf, some of those. Individual sports just naturally lend themselves to less of a risk than your team sports, and like football, of course, where the bodies are very close together for seconds at a time.
Do you know of any states where they might extend some of their championships into the next summer, the ones, especially the ones who have canceled some of their seasons? Does any of them decide to go play next summer, or is that just not going to be a factor?
Well, you know what we're hearing about, Ken, is that they've extended through June 30. And for some schools and states, that does extend into technically the summer or beyond the school year. So in states where they're out of school late May, early June, now if they go 3 weeks beyond the end of the school year, technically those kids might have gotten involved in summer activities, American Legion ball, things like that, and they might still be playing the sports that have been allocated for that third season. Or in some states even, they're calling it fourth season. So they will be going into summer months.
Now, does that change eligibility requirements from your guys' perspective?
You know, that's a great question, because most school years, the fiscal year, July 1 to July 1. So I think that's where the June 30 date has, you know, been kind of the communicated deadline, at least as of today. But the eligibility requirements really are up to each individual state association, and they're very similar. They're probably 90% common across the country. There are little differences here and there. For example, in some states that have very rural areas, you have seventh and eighth graders that actually can play on what is traditionally a high school 9 through 12 team simply to have enough bodies to field the program. So in some states, you'll have subtle differences like that, that work out best for that state and those schools. And we have not heard at this point of eligibility challenges or significant shifts looking into the 21-22 year. But, of course, transfer rules. Our state associations are seeing a real uptick in many states that are sidelined right now, kids trying to transfer out, cross state lines, even move across multiple states. And our state associations are trying to hold firm there, and we support them for so many reasons. When kids transfer, the impact of those moves is pretty profound on themselves, on the family, on schools, and on the kids and the receiving school team that maybe would get bumped. So for a lot of reasons, we're supporting our state associations as they try to hold fast to their transfer rules. And other than hardship, really not allowing transfers for athletic reasons.
Have you heard of any sports? I was thinking primarily of 7-on-7 football is what I was primarily thinking about when I'm thinking about this question. Have you had any sports that have had to cancel because of, you know, not having enough bodies?
We haven't heard of that yet. So that's fantastic news. In states where football numbers are traditionally lower, they've already assumed a championship season for six-player, eight-player, nine-player variations of football, but we haven't seen 7-on-7 be dubbed the championship form of football. That really has been a passing league format, an opportunity for kids to run routes, pass the ball, helmets and shoulder pads, and just to stay in touch with the game. But we have not seen a state other than Connecticut at this point cancel a particular sport. Again, they are the only state at this point that has canceled 11-player football.
Have you seen situation, I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on in Illinois, but it seems like the High School Association and the governor are going back and forth at each other here constantly about, you know, why can't we play? And, you know, have you seen states like that situation or not?
Oh, yeah. Illinois, Michigan is in the same type of situation where their governor has mandated the wearing of masks even during competition, which is a real concern if kids have situations like asthma or if there are severe heat issues going on there.
Right.
So they're in a tough spot right now. The Des Moines, Iowa area, the majority of the state of Iowa is playing. The Des Moines area schools are not. Their students, about a week and a half ago, and some, you know, coaches and family members actually marched over to the governor's residence, to express their concerns and did so peacefully. And then we have states that are still kind of in a fluid situation. Colorado had gone back and forth with delay and not playing, and now maybe, yep, we can go ahead and play. And, you know, and then Texas, of course, had started early, had to dial back, and now they're playing. And, in fact, this weekend coming up, I believe we've got 5A and 6A classes in football that are getting back, our bigger classes, so that's exciting for them. But so we're still seeing a little bit of a pendulum.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the pendulum will swing back in favor of the activity, and in favor of some, you know, some common sense balanced with care.
Right.
You know, but of course urban areas are tougher because the population density is different, and we just have to kind of embrace that and accept that and just try to work as positively as we can. In a positive spirit, collaborative spirit, and pay attention to the biggest picture, which is, you know, when kids aren't playing, that there are other things that we have to be concerned about.
Right.
When they're not engaged, and we're seeing it. One of our state associations last week reported that they've seen since August 1, 10 suicides of students between 7th and 12th grade. Every single one of those kids either played a sport or did another co-curricular activity. So we're concerned that if kids don't have engagement, that mentally and emotionally they're not doing well.
Tell you what, I'm going to, I usually don't do this, but I'm going to plug this because we had this gentleman on last week. Get a hold of Devin Crosby down at Lynn University in Florida, down in Boca Raton. They've got, he's doing a leadership lunch series on mental health, and it's got 9 key words to it. I would give you a suggestion. Go ahead and take a look at that, and I think you'd be surprised at what that is. We had him on last week, and it's a very good program. So just, I'll plug that
Great.
One. So I think
Absolutely, I will.
So I think that's something we need to kind of just plug when we get an opportunity. We need to do that because it was very enlightening. I listened to it before the show last week and really was surprised by it. Carissa, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Oh, goodness, no. I know we're on a time schedule here. I always appreciate talking with you.
Always appreciate talking to you, too.
Yep. Reach out anytime. I hope everyone listening as well and has a great weekend ahead.
Okay, you do the same. We'll catch you further down the line, okay?
You bet.
All right.
Take care now.
Thanks, Carissa. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Carissa Niehoff, who is the president of the National State High School Association. She's the president of that organization. That's going to wrap it up for our show this week. Thanks to our guests and our sponsors, our State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. Join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So until then, I'm Ken Hartman. Take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.